W252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. Urban search and rescue crews from the U.S. have been deployed to assist after an earthquake in Turkey near the border with Syria has left thousands dead. ABC's Marcus Moore is on the ground in Istanbul.
Across the quake zone, the death toll rising steadily throughout the day. The sheer horror. Rescuers recovering the body of a newborn baby. The infant's father, overcome with grief, holding his baby, collapsing to his knees.
Nearly 8,000 people have been rescued in Turkey. More than 45 countries have pledged immediate assistance. A recovery effort underway after a U.S. fighter jet shot down a suspected Chinese spy balloon off the coast of South Carolina. The Navy now using divers and cranes to gather debris. Officials say it'll all be given to the FBI so it can be sent over to their lab in Quantico, Virginia, for analysis and intelligence gathering. President Joe Biden delivering his State of the Union address Tuesday night. This is ABC News. New York is ending its vaccine mandate for city workers. Close to 1,800 were fired for not complying with the mandate. And while they cannot automatically get their jobs back, they will be allowed to reapply. The city's health department says as of Monday, 90% of city residents have completed their series of shots. Collapsed crypto exchange FTX wants its political donations back.
FTX said it has sent confidential messages to political figures, political action committees, and other recipients of contributions by founder Sam Bankman-Fried, asking them to return the money by the end of the month. The political donations are part of the criminal charges against Bankman-Fried, and FTX is trying to recover money as part of its bankruptcy. If the donations are not returned by February 28th, FTX said it would reserve the right to commence actions before the bankruptcy court to require the return of the payments. Just donating the money, FTX said, is not sufficient. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Officials in the UK getting public input on launching its own digital currency, Britcoin. Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
It makes me smile and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3, it's Dueling Tangents.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figuerella, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Wake up and text. Text and eat.
Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, it's a mad radio Monday. Does it feel just a little less devilish up in here?
Oh, man. Once we're on, it's always devilish. Happy Mad Monday to you, Evan, on the board. Thank you, sir. Our fair audience, thanks for joining us. I love Mad. I mean, like Mad Magazine, when I was growing up, it got me some of my, you know, first political satire through Mad Magazine. What, me worry?
Dominic, the new brand in Madison, Wisconsin. You get it? Madison. Mad Radio.
Not because you're an angry Karen.
Oh, I'm sure we'll be accused. Mad dog lefties. I thought about this sort of after the fact, after I'd heard the announcement of the new brand, and I was aware. You know, I got a few insights. I knew it was coming. Begrudgingly. But anyways. But I thought to myself, you know, you always got to be careful when you moniker yourself, T-Bone. You know, is it something worth fighting over on the playground? We'll find out. Mad Radio it is. And not only that, Dom, new call signs. Do you realize at midnight last night, the call signs changed? WMDX, I believe. Like the Acura. Less so like the rapper guy.
WMDX,
not DMX.
MDX, Mad Radio.
Mad Dog X. Mad Dog Radio? We'll see. Mad Radio.
Mad Radio.
That's the new brand. It launched at 6 a.m. this morning. For those that paid attention this weekend, thanks for listening. Charlie Behrens. I like binged listen to Charlie Behrens in Madison. The Cripes cast. I heard, I think there were six of them. And then he launched the new one on noon for the Civic Media Network. So I think I listened to 7 hours of Cripescast this weekend. And it's pretty good stuff. I found myself enjoying the Charlie Behrens. One other.
I can tell your Wisconsin accent is really peaking today.
Say hi to your folks there, hey.
Oh, yeah, there, hey.
Also, this morning, I felt quite honored over the course of the weekend. Wrapped up some final business details. I don't often take Sunday morning meetings, business meetings. But I did yesterday. I worked on the Sabbath. God wouldn't be happy. But I needed to.
Wow, Crudy, you sinner.
I needed to. We were rolling out the new under the helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown, on the Earl Ingram this morning.
The Gravedigger, right? Yes.
And I Met the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown, once again yesterday. I'd met him on Brady Street. He came down once upon a time to visit his friend Earl, who was broadcasting with us on Brady Street. And I'd met him, you know, I guess technically as a fine sideline reporter slash Cub photographer working for ABC back in the early 90s when he first came in the league. So I'm sure I shot a little video of him, probably was in the press gaggle once or twice. But Dom, I can tell you, I never hung out with a big guy like Gilbert Brown. And when I say big, I don't mean physically of stature big. I'm telling you, this guy, Shaquille O'Neal's got nothing on this guy. This guy has an enormous personality. I mean, he makes me seem like a shrinking violet. I'm telling you, dude, Gilbert Brown, a hell of a fun guy. Now, Ebon, are you listening? Need a little help. So anyways, Gilbert Brown was in Wisconsin. He was at the RV show at the Alliant Energy Center, apparently doing a special appearance on behalf of the Gilbert Brown. It's the foundation, and then the foundation acknowledges a lot of different children's charities. So we had our business meeting, and we got him there just a few minutes late, sort of Dominic time, walked him down to the convention center. And a very generous guy, autographed a couple of footballs. I tried to stick some money in the till. He's like, no, this is my gift to you. So thank you, Gilbert. Should have had him sign a crudy, though. It says Mike. But I didn't even ask. He just did it, you know, wrote one out to me. So thank you, Gilbert. And I thought the least I can do, you know, now that I've got this friendly working acquaintanceship with this guy, is make sure his first date, the launch, goes well, right?
Yeah, sometimes the tech, you never know, man.
Well, so I got up before the sun this morning.
Ooh, crudy.
And I heard the launch of Mad Radio here in Madison at 6 a.m. Central Time. It launched with the Pat Kreitlow Show. Heard the entirety of that. I don't often, no offense, Pat. You know, I'm not the early morning guy. That's why we're not the morning guys, Dom. It's because I'm not a morning guy, and you're not really a morning guy, more so than I. But I was up before the sun, got in the car, drove down, and hung out with Gilbert Brown, and then got to see him. And I mean, this guy's got enormous personality. You're going to love him as part of the Earl Ingram shows on Monday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. And if you missed it, we're going to play it out across the network this Saturday after the Charlie Barron's Cripes cast, 1 o'clock. But I got one little snippet from my boy, Gilbert Brown. And he's trash-talking our boy Earl just a little bit. But, you know, he's kind of comparing the old Earl Ingram show to the Gilbert Brown gravedigger added new Gilbert, you know, Earl Ingram and Gilbert Brown Monday Morning Edition. Do you got this for us, Ebon?
No, he's still working.
Not yet. I'm pulling it up.
Well, I'm glad I brought the story up now then. So, anyways, Dom, let's turn to the headlines because I'm dead in the water. 844-967-2789.
We'll get to it, Crudy. The headlines. You know, I always like to see when, you know, Wisconsin Republicans are mentioned in the national news. Yeah, it reminds me that, you know, the nation is watching. People are paying attention to what goes on here in the state of Wisconsin. So when I saw the headline over at the Raw story, I was wondering, is there a possibility? Is there a chance that some Wisconsin politician could be involved? And you know the answer. Here's the headline. Jim Jordan's first hearing mocked over conspiracy theorist witnesses, according to the new civil rights movement.
Wait, are there some badger conspiracy theorists?
Are those the best kind?
Dominic, I've got a few guesses. What about Scott Fitzgerald?
No.
Glenn Grothman, the most Trumpian House member, Wisconsin 6 CD Representative Glenn Grothman.
Nope.
Well, then, Dom. Wait. Could it be the newest congressman, the newly enshrined congressman from the 3rd CD of the great state of Wisconsin, the insurrectionist himself, Van Norden? Is it that dude?
It is not.
Well, then, it could only be Rojo.
It could only be Rojo. Its first hearing isn't until Thursday, but already Chairman Jim Jordan's select subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government is being mocked after the list of witnesses was released. NBC News' Garrett Hake reports testifying before the committee on Thursday will be ex-Democratic Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley, and former FBI Special Agent Nicole Parker. Gabbard left the Democratic Party and is now independent.
Is Putin not available?
And Gabbard is also a Fox News contributor. 2019, Hillary Clinton suggested she was a Russian asset being groomed for a third-party presidential run. She sued the former Democratic presidential nominee and former U.S. Secretary of State, but later dropped the defamation lawsuit. Also, Gabbard shared false information, Forbes reported last year, about U.S. involvement in Ukraine biological laboratories, giving credence to an unfounded Russian-backed conspiracy theory. There's your Putin, Crudy. The U.S. has warned it could serve as a justification for Russia to use biological and chemical weapons against Ukraine.
Yeah, but what about Rojo, Dom?
Senator Johnson, who narrowly won re-election after being among the top promoters of Donald Trump's big lie, is a conspiracy theorist who uses his Senate seat to spread false information about COVID and a host of other crises. And I'll jump down here in the article. Again, this was at the Raw story. Some were quick to mock Chairman Jordan's choice of witnesses to testify before his subcommittee's first hearing. Here's a quote. Johnson actively pushed the Wisconsin legislature and vice president to overturn the election. Tulsi used her perch in Congress to secretly meet with Assad and whitewash his war crimes. So in a sense, they are indeed experts on weaponizing government, mocked former Hillary Clinton foreign policy spokesman Jesse Leerich. Yeah, Ron Johnson. He's going to testify in this weaponization subcommittee hearing with GYM Jordan. Great. One hell of a representative we have there in Congress. Thank you, Wisconsin.
Dominic, maybe I was, momentarily distracted. But did you state what Chris Cillizza had to say about Rojo, the Senate's leading conspiracy theorist?
I did not. Go ahead.
Well, let me read just a little bit of the... I think some of this is important, Dom. CNN's Chris Cillizza branded Rojo the Senate's leading conspiracy theorist. He's number one! Just 1 year ago, the Washington Post reported last May that U.S. Senator Johnson expressed openness, that's their quote, to fervent anti-vaccination commentators. And again, here's a quote, Diam. Idea that maybe the coronavirus vaccines are a conduit for deliberately giving people AIDS.
Ron Johnson.
We're purposefully infecting people with AIDS per the logic of Ron Johnson through the brilliant plan of inseminating them with a vaccination.
He just expressed openness to the idea that, you never really know. Hey, Crudy, just like Tucker Carlson, the senator's just asking questions, man. Just curious, trying to help out, representing the citizens of the great state of Wisconsin.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a brand new affiliate, Madison, Wisconsin. The mothership, Tom. It's Mad Radio. MDX. Apparently we play more of this kind of music here. Do we? The right stuff? Do we play that? I didn't think we did. That's not a tradition we want to start on day one. Come back with us, more Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open. Join us before John Nichols at 4:30.
Are you an experienced maintenance technician? Do you wish you felt valued at your current position? If you answered yes to both questions, then say yes to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo rarely has maintenance openings. Most employees have been there more than 14 years, but PepsiCo is hiring right now and has 3 openings for experienced maintenance technicians. As a global top employer 3 years in a row, PepsiCo pays way above average, and you can't beat the benefits. Free continuing education, tuition reimbursement, and a
an account balance pension plan, legit free money from the company to you. Plus, PepsiCo is committed to reducing the global carbon footprint through a pep-positive corporate responsibility program. You're invited to the PepsiCo Job Fair on Wednesday, February 1st from 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Find more information at PepsiCoJobs.com or call 1-800-236-3720. Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 32 overnight, under cloudy skies, southwesterly winds, 10 to 20 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 36. Mainly clear. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 21. 1 to 3 inches of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. You can join us. 844-967-2789. John Nichols from The Nation and The Cap Times will join us at 4:30.
You know what, Tom? I'm going to call it an audible. It's not going the way I thought it was going to go, so let's do a little math on the radio, because I love doing that.
On the radio, especially on a Monday, dude.
You know, the budget. The budget's sort of a big deal. Also, the State of the Union, sort of a big deal, that will be tomorrow night, aired live right here on the Civic Media Network, and then we'll have a post-game show. You know, some of the finest guests we could have had this week, Dom, are going to be part of the post-game show. I have made a sacrifice for the greater good of the nation and shared the, you know, contact information of Joe Sopecki. He's going to be a part. Our conservative friend, Bill McCashin, he's going to be a part. Matt Flynn from right here at, you know, Civic Media, he's going to be a part. Todd Alba's going to do some of the anchoring. And news director Terry Bell. So Joe Biden going live at 8 Central Time Tuesday night. Post-game show provided by Civic Media. And then we don't even know where he's going, what he's doing. But we're covering it, Tom. At least I'll be there. Wednesday, President Joe Biden coming to Madison. I'll tell you more if they tell us anything.
We'll tell you when they tell us.
So in the short run, Tom, let's do something a little different. Let's do a little math on the radio. One of my favorite endeavors. Found this little article at the online daily, urbanmilwaukee.com. Big numbers drive the budget decisions. Governor Tony Evers will give lawmakers his proposed two-year state budget February 21st. So a couple of weeks till Tony's soon-to-be shredded budget's handed over to the Republicans, right, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
To put some of those numbers in the budget in perspective, here is a version of the Trivial Pursuit State Government Edition.
I can see people's eyes glazing over right now. No, no, this is good. We'll give you some numbers. It's pretty easy to digest.
We'll keep it digestible. Digestible chunks. First and foremost, Tom, the first question. State government's general fund account, that's the checkbook, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we do cash accounting here in the state. Although we heard prior Republican administrations claim they were going to put us on generally accepted accounting principles, Scott Walker never really did he?
No, nor did he ever solve a $3.6 billion budget deficit, but I digress.
So when we talk about the general fund account, the checkbook, we're talking about how much cash the state's got in its account. And that's the type of accounting it does. Just like broke people do. If I got cash in my pocket, $1, I ain't broke yet.
That's right.
That's the way it works here in state governance. It's not the best way. It's not the accepted accounting principle way, but it's the way we do it, apparently.
Well, I mean, you can have that in that cash accounting system. You can have that dollar in your pocket and owe money, but as long as you have the dollar, you're good to go.
So let's talk about the two biggest fundraisers for the state budget, the state checkbook. The personal income tax, about 45% of the budget. That's about $9.21 billion of general fund revenues. And state sales tax, which is about 34%, about $7 billion in the last budget year. That's a 1 year. Typically, they roll out a 2 year budget. So the numbers will be multiplied by two. But what they're describing here is single year expenditures and revenues. The third biggest source of general fund income, Dom, the corporate income tax brought in about 14.5% of revenues last year. Now, I would point out that is substantially larger than the federal government. Do you recall what it's at, Tom? The federal government, how much tax?
As a percentage? Oh, yeah, certainly not
14.4%. Of total revenues that corporations pay in this nation.
It's gone down over the years.
It was 6%. I think we're down to like 3.6% that corporations pay on a federal level. All the profitable corporations in the nation only pay like 3.6% of the taxes. And you go home at the end of the month, you wonder why you got no money left in your checkbook. It's because the government already took your money to feed their spending habit. But anyways.
Yeah, and don't forget ExxonMobil, who just came in with, what, $56 billion in one-year profits? Yeah, remember all that? Remember the gas inflation?
Joe Biden did that.
No, it wasn't Joe Biden. It was the oil companies, because now as they continue to report across the board, massive profits. It's amazing. They pushed it up in a political cycle knowing they were playing a game and cashing it out, and lots of people fell for it. Kurti, that's the other side of the equation. What about the expense side? Here we go.
Tom's Bar Tab. That's got to be number one.
It's like 3%. Aid to schools, the Department of Public Instruction, gets $7.22 billion. Healthcare, the Department of Health Services, gets $4.43 billion. Aid to local governments and property tax relief, another $2.55 billion. Prisons, $1.3 billion. And the UW, $1.1 billion. Good to see we spend more money on prisons than we do on the UW system here in Wisconsin.
Isn't that crazy?
Those five programs account for about 84% of all general fund spending.
Not to take you too far down the rabbit hole, Dom, but Wisconsin expends about twice as much money on incarcerating people as the state of Minnesota does. And it's not because our prisons cost a lot more, although we spend a hell of a lot of people in hell of a lot of money incarcerating people. But like twice as much as our neighbors, you know, because I guess we're more unlawful. Here's a couple of interesting sin taxes, Dom. Wisconsin's tax on liquor and wine with alcohol content, 21% or $3.25 per gallon.
Alcohol content above 42 proof.
Last raised in 1981.
Come on.
Pack of cigarettes, $2.52 per pack. Taxation. That was last raised in 2009. And they're really, really sticking it to those that would drive SUVs. Oh, no. Not the gas guzzlers. They're going to stick it to the people driving the hybrids and the plug-ins. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Got to find gas straight from Iceland. Ice, John Nichols, come back with us.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. A race against the clock to rescue people trapped in rubble in Turkey and Syria following a 7.8 magnitude earthquake. Thousands of people were killed. Others are still trapped, with frigid cold weather diminishing chances for survival.
After daybreak west of Aleppo, rescuers lifting an injured child from the rubble. And to the north of the city, saving this toddler. Her name is Raghat, but sadly her mother and two siblings all killed. The little girl now staying with relatives. In Turkey, rescuers pulling this man out of a tiny crevice of a collapsed building. This survivor, named Hulusi, comparing the quake to doomsday. Saying a building collapsed on him and his wife. He doesn't believe she survived.
ABC's Marcus Moore in Istanbul. President Biden spoke with Turkey's president and the U.S. deployed urban search and rescue teams. Biden will deliver his State of the Union address Tuesday night. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders will give the Republican response. This is ABC News.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Most of them are Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll
get woke
in the afternoon.
Most of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a bad radio Monday. That's the new name up around here. And we got the same fine guest, this time live. Well, not the same fine guest. We got John Nichols. He is a fine guest. He's a friend of the Devil's, and he's in Iceland, but he called in today. Thanks, John. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, John.
It's good to be with both of you.
John, why are you in Iceland? I mean, it's none of our business, but may I ask? No. It's kind of dark there right now, you said.
It wasn't snowy enough in Wisconsin. it was snowy enough, dark enough, cold enough. No, I'm interviewing the Prime Minister and doing some reporting.
Well, excellent. I'm glad somebody's working around here today. Yeah. So, John Nichols.
Well, I'm trying to.
Is it still fair to ask you about the State of the Union address? You know, back here, in the States.
It. I mean,
Biden's got a big speech tomorrow night. What would you expect, John?
Well, they have televisions here. And so,
do they in Iceland?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing, but true. And computers, the whole bit. And so I will definitely be watching it and reading the transcripts and listening and paying attention to it. And you're right. It is a very big speech. And here's why. Biden had a pretty good midterm. In fact, certainly did better than expected. Democrats not just held the Senate, but improved their position. They almost kept the House. They definitely improved their position substantially in the states. So it was really one of the best midterm elections for Democrats in the modern era. And so for a variety of reasons, the American people seem to get that Biden has been a relatively effective president. And yet the polling suggests that there's some gap, on whether they think he should run for re-election, a host of other issues. This State of the Union address is an opportunity for him to make his case, right? To say, look at those unemployment numbers. Look at the fact that it appears we might avoid a recession, even though everybody seemed to be saying not too long ago that we were steering straight toward it. And a host of other, decent economic indicators. And so he's got an opportunity to really make a speech to basically working families of America and say, what he's done policy-wise has worked and that he'd like to do a lot more of it. Obviously, then he can get some jabs in at Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans in Congress, suggesting that they're more about obstruction than actually getting anything done. And, outline something of a vision, do a little bit of a call to action. It's State of the Union address is generally, in any given year, the best bully pulpit that a president has. Gets the most attention, gets the most clips played on radio, television, et cetera. So by any measure for Biden, who by all accounts appears to want to run for re-election, this is a very important speech.
John, my understanding, 36 million observed the speech live last year, and that's a lot bigger than the Game 7 of the World Series. Our fine guest, John Nichols, live from Iceland, talking about the State of the Union address. We're going to play it out live here on the radio, John. But I would say, yes, Biden wants to run for re-election, but I also think the American people are concerned, and I don't mean to come off as ageist, John, but Biden would be 82 years old. I don't think it's as much about telling the American people what Dems have accomplished, although I certainly think that should be part. That's what the roadshow on Wednesday is about, John. I think he's got to make the case for why he's the right guy still to lead this country, John. And is he a diminished candidate? Is he up to this task rhetorically?
Well, that's what we'll see tomorrow night, right? I mean, if he delivers a strong speech, that's going to be highly beneficial to him by any measure. If he delivers just a lackluster speech, it probably doesn't do all that much damage because, rhetorical expectations for Joe Biden are not as high as they were, say, for Ronald Reagan or Barack Obama. And so for a variety of reasons, he sort of has a cushion here. He can give a decent speech and get pretty good marks. If he gives a great speech, obviously, that is highly to his advantage. But we'll see. I mean, look, I can tell you that as Biden positions as a likely candidate for re-election, this speech takes on tremendous significance because obviously the Republicans will say he gave a lousy speech. Democrats will say he gave a good speech. at the heart of it is the question of what the average American hears and thinks. Now, remember, most voters won't watch the speech live. They'll hear clips from it. They'll get a flavor of it. They'll get a sense of it on the radio, on television, in some other form. And so what his speechwriters are going to be doing, and I've written a lot over the years about how speechwriters construct these speeches. What they'll be doing is looking to create those, you know, great soaring lines, those moments where the president says something that really does A, sound great, and get the best possible response in the chamber, you know, members rising to their feet and applauding. That's one of the reasons why Republicans don't applaud for Democratic presidents anymore, because they don't want to feed into that. But the fact of the matter is that there's enough Democrats there to get a pretty rousing round of applause if, you know, the president says something that really does resonate. So obviously they're going to be working very, very hard on that. And that isn't just the words, right, the character of the words. It's also Biden's delivery, right? And I know this is getting real technical and it's getting down into the minutiae of how a speech is given. But all of this matters as, you know, again, as you're positioning for a potential reelection run.
Our guest, John Nichols from The Nation at Cap Times here in Madison, Wisconsin. John, while the president has some really good economic numbers, and now obviously the State of the Union and going on the tours and the surrogates getting out there, the Republicans now have taken control of the House, and they've been doing some very important things, John, I want to get your impressions on, you know, like you know, kicking Ilhan Omar off the Foreign Relations Committee or putting up votes about, you know, condemning socialism, and what's coming up on Thursday, the subcommittee led by Jim Jordan on the weaponization of the federal government with guests such as Tulsi Gabbard, Senator Ron Johnson, and Chuck Grassley. We look at how this administration has been performing, and in contrast to the newly minted Republican megas in the House, John, how do you think that compares?
Well, you know, I think, you know, one has to expect Jim Jordan will do a good job because he's a UW graduate. so that's got to count for something. But, no, I mean, look, right now the Republicans are using their control of the House largely for symbolic purposes, right, to score political points or to deliver political messages. That's what was happening last week with Ilhan Omar. It was clearly retribution for two Republican members, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar getting kicked off their committees for saying things that were actually threatening to other House members. Now they're kicking Ilhan Omar off. Because of her opinions, right? Because of things she said over the years. And look, she said some things that, especially in her first month as a member of Congress, that were controversial and got criticism from Democrats and Republicans at the moment. But by all accounts, she's been an exemplary member of the Foreign Affairs Committee. Even Republicans have said over the years that she's done a very, very good job. She's extremely serious about human rights. She's extremely serious about parts of the world that don't get a lot of attention. And so kicking her off was damaging, not to Ilhan Omar. She'll still have a platform and she'll be listened to and heard, maybe more so now than ever, but to the House, because you're losing a member, someone who came to the United States as a refugee, has tremendous experience in her own life and tremendous connections around the world. And it's also damaging to the United States because, you know, you want these committees, especially foreign affairs, to be made up of people who are strong, who actually know how to deal with these issues. And even if you disagree with them, who, you know, really are engaged. And so bad move there. And it looked bad, I think, on a variety of levels. Now, as regards the socialism resolution, you know, the Republicans condemned, you know, the horrors of socialism, and they put everything into the pot, you know, from Stalin to Norway. And that's a pretty broad brush to paint with, you know, and all I'll say about this is that it's ironic that next year, the Republicans, next summer, they will hold their convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a city that in the 20th century was governed by three of the highest profile socialist mayors in the United States. And by all accounts, they were very good mayors. They got extremely high marks for how they governed the city and got a lot of credit for, you know, creating Milwaukee in its best sense, you know, building it out in its best sense. And, you know, amazingly, for people who are concerned about the horrors of socialism, the Republicans will gather in the shadows of the Daniel Hone Memorial Bridge, which stretches across the waterfront in Milwaukee and is named for Milwaukee's longest-serving socialist mayor. So I think they're sort of maybe wrestling with reality here in a rather bizarre way. But that seems to be what a lot of this is about, is, you know, making these bold statements, doing these big things, even if they aren't grounded in reality, and even if they aren't grounded in any kind of, you know, practical, you know, work to achieve or do, you know, good things for the American people. And as Mark Pocan pointed out, the congressman from South Central Wisconsin, it sure looks like this attack on the quote-unquote horrors of socialism is really kind of laying the groundwork for an assault on Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part.
John, NBC had a news survey out. 31% believe Biden is a competent and effective president, and 71% say the country is on the wrong track. And I want to get your mm-hmm. sense on this. When I hear the wrong track thing, I wonder, because in my opinion, that could be, you know, it's very subjective, right? Overturning Roe v. Wade is bad. You know, lack of action on gun safety is bad. Trying to privatize Social Security is bad. I mean, those some people could look at that and say, well, it's on the wrong track. But do you attribute that necessarily to this administration, John?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's sort of a general sense of you know, discomfort. And, you know, why would that be? Well, we just went through a pandemic that, you know, no matter what you think about the government response to it, was incredibly destabilizing at the local, state, and national levels, put a lot of people through a lot of economic pain, in many cases physical pain. You know, well over a million people died. You know, this is something pretty serious, and we just went through that. We've got a lot of other challenges as a society, too. We're told that, you know, we're way behind on dealing with the climate crisis. We have not begun to deal with income inequality and a host of other issues. So when you get a wrong track number, I think that it's probably legitimate. I think there really are a huge number of Americans who think we're on the wrong track. But I don't think that they're necessarily in agreement on what the track is, right? There's a portion of people who think we're on the wrong track because, you know, like Ron DeSantis thinks they're teaching the wrong things in schools in Florida. And then there's another portion who think we're on the wrong track because there actually are Republicans talking about, you know, undermining Social Security. You know, at the end of the day, I don't think a right track, wrong track poll necessarily tells you that, you know, somebody's in trouble politically, that a president, you know, will get beat because people think the country's on the wrong track. However, I will say one important thing. If the Republicans were to really do a reset and to nominate somebody who had an appealing message about, you know, how to get the country on track, that might have resonance, right? You could get traction. The problem is, for the Republicans, there's very little indication that they're going to do that. By all accounts, they're still reasonably likely to nominate the guy who lost the last election, and because people thought we were on the wrong track. So I think on balance, I don't think it's the best measure.
John Nichols, the American people think we're on the wrong track because there's not enough John Nichols on the Devil's Advocates radio show. And I tell them it's because John calls us collect from Iceland. John, really appreciate you making some time for us today, man. You be well. We'll catch up to you when you're back stateside.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
All right. Thank you, John.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation with I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 32 overnight, under cloudy skies, southwesterly winds, 10 to 20 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 36. Mainly clear. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 21. 1 to 3 inches of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
Sixty percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Who knows it? It's bad, and I do not care. Who knows it? I'm mad, Maddie, mad, mad.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open. Join us. 844-967-2789.
Now, you're a little mad, aren't you, Dom? Get it? Mad?
Yeah,
radio?
I mean, I got it. Yeah, can't play some Mad Season, dude. I mean, there's other mad things out there.
Don't be a mad dog. thank you, John Nichols. Never a mad dog. Never goes off the reservation. Well, although he's out of the zip code right now. Man, Iceland. Who's paying that phone bill, John? Appreciate it, though, sir. It's always toll-free around here at 844-967-2789. The State of the Union address going off tomorrow. And I think it's a big deal, Dom. I think it's Joe Biden's last chance in front of 36 million. I mean, not the entire electorate. You'd get 150, 180 million people voting in a presidential, depending on the year. But 36 million, that's a substantial number. That's just those listing on the Civic Media app tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And again, we're going to do it live for you, 8 Central Time. Joe's speech, Uncle Joe, President Joe to you, Dom. Joe Biden, that is. He will give his State of the Union address, and they'll do the Kabuki Theater, the ups and the downs, and the perhaps the you lies, Dom. Are you expecting any sort of disruption in the chambers?
Sure.
And
yeah,
I'm looking at you, Lauren Boebert.
The mega crowd? I mean, I think the was that Wilson, the you lie? That'll be tame by comparison. I mean, these megas, I mean, they ransacked the Capitol. Half of them think that was totally fine. So, yeah, I don't think there's going to be any problem with some of these jackasses, shooting some spitballs tomorrow.
Do you think there will be cigarette smoking in the House chambers during the State of the Union address? I'm not clear if the entirety of the audience is aware. Damn, Republicans really like carcinogenic smoking. Not, like the cool kind, weed smoking.
I thought they liked cigarette smoking. When they were arguing over the speaker thing and doing all those votes for all those days, I thought I saw C-SPAN pan somebody who was hitting a vape. Like an old white dude hitting a vape. Like
on the floor?
In the house.
Don't act like you've never hit a vape on the house floor, Dom.
That's why you have vapes.
I thought they had lifted the ban on cigarettes, and they also, they removed the magnometers so the Trump supporters could get in.
Yeah,
right?
But the fence is back up, and that's a big problem, apparently, with the Republicans, because, if you put a fence up and have security there, how the hell are they going to ransack the Capitol again? I can see why they'd be mad about that.
It is Kabuki Theater. I think there'll be some quiet heckling. I think there'll be a smattering of, slight disruptions. I think that Joe Biden might get distracted. We're all prone to get distracted. Someone's talking loud in the back, Dom. But we don't see any Republican Congress people screaming at the president mid-speech as they have been prone to do in the past.
It's always night. Always hope. I mean, there's always hope, Crudy. That's what we have to hold on to.
No,
we
don't
hope the megas won't act like megas. We hope that won't happen. But odds are, megas mega, man. Mega gonna do what mega gonna do. So if they start yelling, I would not be surprised.
Nor I. Will you be drinking during the event, Tom? You know, these nighttime speeches, often they turn into, you know, bingo events. You put your name or different words on the bingo card, or maybe you just pick one phrase in particular and you drink. What do you think your drinking phrase? You know, assume you want to get hammered tomorrow night during the speech.
Something to the effect like, I'm serious, or I'm for real. You know, it's one of those things when he says something and he comes up with a, you know, a solution or, you know, a comment, he's, oh, and then he'll follow it up. No, I'm serious, folks, for real. You know, something along those lines.
Do you think he will reference the former president by name? Do you think he'll say Trump during the course of his speech?
I hope he doesn't.
Do you think he will?
I don't see why he would.
I would.
In what sense? In what context?
I would certainly be talking about, let's say, the Trump tax cuts, the Trump response to COVID. I'd find plenty of rationale and reasons to attach Trump's name to prior governance actions or failure thereof. Let's not forget them. While the president is speaking, literally the federal government could go into default because we've already exceeded the debt limit, right? They've quit funding some pensioners' pensions at this point. They're using extraordinary measures to keep the government open. And these Republicans, my understanding, Dom, the terrorist demands of these Republicans would actually increase the level of the deficit.
Wow. Don't mind that. And that's coming at you from, what, a government bean counter? You can't take that to the bank, Curdy, although they take the CBO and all their other estimates just fine.
Well, I would wonder from our fair audience, 844-967-2789. You watching? Or listening right here on the Civic
Media
Network.
Come on, man.
We'll play it out all across the network, Tom. Are you watching? Are you listening? Are you going to make it destination radio or television?
844-967-2789.
Do we have a conflicting Badger game?
I don't know.
You know, Marquette's in the top 10 now.
I saw it. Right.
Got to acknowledge that for our Marquette friends out there because, you know, I talk a lot of trash about my beloved Badgers. But we've been, I think the Badgers have lost like 6 of 7.
Oof,
if it weren't for Ohio State, man, we'd be the doormats of the Big Ten lately.
I know we just got a couple minutes left in this hour, but the conversation of don't want to be ageist but thing. If given the circumstances, all things being equal, if Joe Biden were 10 or 15 years younger, do you think anyone would be concerned whatsoever about him running again?
You know, quite frankly, it's not Joe's age. It's his capacity. It's his ability to effectively communicate with the American people. If Joe can capture the imagination of the American people, I mean, I tell you what, Bernie Sanders is like 81, 82. I don't hear anybody calling Bernie old.
Right.
Know what I mean? Because it's really the passion, the fire he brings to the table.
Well, and the results of his administration. I mean, come on, look what we came into and look at where we are. Short of the inflation, this is way better than it was under Trump. Remember the COVID, the lockdown, all the economy in the tank, the 6% unemployment. We have, you know, lower unemployment than I've ever had my entire lifetime right now. I mean, hell, corporate profits. I mean, if there's a problem anywhere, it's corporate profits. You know, the Exxon getting $56 billion last year. I mean, the market's doing what the market does or fighting with the Fed on everything. But all in all, it's not terrible, man. I mean, what would you want? What would you expect? What would you have anybody else do different?
Dominic, it's a mad, mad, mad radio world we live in. A new brand up around here in Madison. WMDX. Like the Acura, not the rapper. Devil's Advocates. Same as it ever was. Greatest radio show ever. In the next hour, the Happier Happy Hour, the Monday edition, the State of the Union Eve edition, the Biden Visits Madison Eve edition. Well, the phone lines are open. The party has begun. Call us.
Are you an experienced maintenance technician? Do you wish you felt valued at your current position? If you answered yes to both questions, then say yes to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo rarely has maintenance openings. Most employees have been there more than 14 years, but PepsiCo is hiring right now and has three openings for experienced maintenance technicians. As a global top employer 3 years in a row, PepsiCo pays way above average, and you can't beat the benefits. Free continuing education, tuition reimbursement, and an account balance pension plan, legit free money from the company to you. Plus, PepsiCo is committed to reducing the global carbon footprint through a PEP-positive corporate responsibility program. You're invited to the PepsiCo Job Fair on Wednesday, February 1st from 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Find more information at PepsiCoJobs.com or call 1-800-236-3720.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.